All right, Rabotai, as you know, on Fridays, we take advantage of Shabbat to learn a little Nevi'im. You know, every week we chip away a little, and eventually we'll have a lot of knowledge. Of course, Sam Flesser knows everything already. So he mainly comes for the Parashah class. Which the Zat Hashem will be following. So we're in the chapter here of Yehoshua. If you remember in our last episode, we had the Jewish people taking the mass circumcision, the Brit Milah. And we said that because the Jewish people weren't circumcised when they were in the Midbar for different reasons. And now that they came into Eretz Yisrael, they had the first order was to give themselves a circumcision. And right after that, now they came in on the 10th of Nisan. They circumcised themselves the next day, the 11th. And you have to keep in mind, a few days from then is Pesach. So I mean, look at the busy, you know, schedule. And 10th of Nisan, the sea splits Yarden, and then they have to take a Brit Milah, and they just came into Eretz Yisrael already. It's 2 days to Pesach. Now they have to pack up and go to Mexico, which means they just got to Eretz Yisrael and they have to go away for Pesach. That's tough. You just unpack, now you got to pack again and go to Miami for Pesach. But the Cancun. That's not the main thing of Pesach, matzah and wine. In the old days, that was the main thing of Pesach. Today, the main thing is a swimming pool and a beach and the ocean. You're old-fashioned, doctor. I said, you're old-fashioned. You still eat matzah on Pesach?
Only egg.
Only egg?
Hand.
Okay. In any event, so the Pasuk says over here, Vayachanu b'nei Yisrael b'Gilgal. That's where the first Passover trip was, in Gilgal. What do they know? What's in Gilgal? Nothing there. Okay, they went to Gilgal. Vayachasu et ha-Pesach, I mean they brought the Korban Pesach, ba'arba'a asar yom la'chodesh. Okay, now they didn't bring the Korban Pesach the whole time they were in the Midbar. Because you can't bring the Korban Pesach if you don't have a Brit Milah. So the last Korban Pesach that they brought was in Egypt, the night before they left. This is it. So therefore, when they came out of Mitzrayim, they couldn't bring the Korban Pesach. So they brought the Korban Pesach 40 years later at the Arbot Yericho, it's called. That means they were right at Yericho. And this is an amazing story in Rabotai. The city of Jericho was right in front of them. The city of Jericho was one of the most fortified cities in the land of Israel. Here the Jewish people have so much trust in God that they take a circumcision right in front of the city of Yericho. Now I don't know if you read this week's parasha yet. But in this week's parasha, the people of Shechem would take a circumcision. And then 3 days later, Shimon and Levi would kill the whole town. I mean, here, Yericho, once they hear the Jewish people take a circumcision, 3 days later they can come and destroy them. But the Pasuk says, Be'arbot Yericho, in front of Yericho, they didn't care. They put their faith in God. Yanki, they put their faith in God. And they did the circumcision. They weren't worried about any consequences. Now we have some problems over here, Rabotai, that we have to deal with. I'll deal with them one by one. The Korban Pesach, you have to eat with matzot. Al matzot umirurim yochiluhu be'seba. Korban Pesach is an animal. Sheep they had. Where are they getting matzot? Where are they getting the matzot from? Oh, they could make them. I know where they got the ovens from. I'm asking where they got the matzot from.
No ovens.
The ovens they had. I'm not worried about the oven. Oven, you can make an oven. But when you came into Eretz Yisrael, they came in from the Nidvah. Nobody had flour in their luggage. So you must say that when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they had to buy the wheat from the Goyim that were there already. You understand? Otherwise, where are you getting flour from? There's no flour in the Midbar. So the Pasuk says, Vayochelu me'avur ha'aretz. They ate from avur ha'aretz. Avur ha'aretz is from the product of the land. Me'machorat ha'pesach matzot ve'kalui. So that she says, or the Pasuk says, Vayochilu, they ate me'avur ha'aretz. Avur ha'aretz means from the crops of the land. Me'machorat ha'pesach. Now me'machorat ha'pesach can mean the day after Pesach, or can mean the day after the Korban Pesach, which means the first day of Pesach. Matzot ve'kalui. So they bought the matzah, they ate from the product of the land. But how could they eat from the product of the land? The product of the land is, you're not allowed to eat from the product of the land until you bring Korban HaOmer. Let's review the laws here. On the second day of Pesach, you bring a special Korban, it's called Korban HaOmer. Korban HaOmer allows you to eat now all the Yashan, all the wheat that was from before. But this is the first day of Pesach. The first day of Pesach, all the old wheat is forbidden. Unless you tell me it was the Goyim. Okay, I'll talk about it. That's a simple answer. So if you take it from the Goyim, there's no law of Hadash and Yashan by the Goyim, if you say that. Is that true? There's no law of Yashan by the Goyim? 100% there's no law. Ah, so they grew it. So then, well, why are we still worried about Yashan then on spaghetti, on Entenmann's cake, on donuts? It's all Goyim. Why am I worried about it? The Jews didn't... So we have to figure out exactly what they did over here. So the... Me'machorat ha'Pesach means the day after the Korban Pesach. So the day after the Korban Pesach, where did they get matzah from? So the Farsim answered this question as follows. V'kimu mitzvat matzah kadim. Kemo she'ne'emar v'korban Pesach matzotam yuchiluhu. V'af api she'biyom harishon shel Pesach, they still had man. We're going to learn in a second, the man they still had. The man was not falling still, but they had leftover man from the midbar. I'll discuss about the leftover man in a minute. But you cannot use man for matzah, because matzah can only be used from something that becomes chametz. And the man does not become chametz. So therefore, man is not kosher to make matzah out of it. But in yotzim yedei chovah shel matzah b'achilat man. Ve'et ha-matzot asu min ha-tevuah hayishana. Oh, they made the matzah from the old wheat, shekanu tevuah mitagere ha-goyim. Ah, which means they had already the old wheat from the goyim from last year. Shelo ayu yichurim lekol matzah min ha-tevuah chadasha. They couldn't eat yet from the new crop, because the new crop that grows, you have to wait until the second day of Pesach. So they had to buy from already the stuff that was in the silos. Okay, beautiful. So therefore, the matzah they ate, the pasuk is clearly now. Vayochelu, meaning they ate the matzah, me'avur, avur is lashon avar, me'avur ha'aretz, from the old wheat, me'machorat ha'pesach, means from the day after Korban Pesach, and what did they eat? Matzot. Beautiful. Be'etzem ayom hazeh, on that day. Now, What did they eat besides the matzah? They ate man. They still had man on the first day of Pesach. Let me explain to you what happened with the man. Just so you know some Jewish history. The last day that the man fell was on Zayin Adar, the day that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. When he passed away, the man stopped. However, a miracle happened, and the man that fell on Zayin Adar lasted them for 37 days. Normally, the man would not last till the next morning. The man was very perishable. But here, it went from the 7th to the 7th, which is 30 days, plus another 7 days. It went until the 15th of Nisan. So the 15th of Nisan, the first day of Pesach, that's when the man went out. So on the first day of Pesach, they ate matzah from the old crop, and they ate the man for the last day of the man. Now that's a tremendous miracle. The man lasts for 37 days. Why would God make such a miracle? Why would God make such a miracle? I understand God has to make a miracle, let's say, till they get into Eretz Yisrael.
Why the number 37?
Because that's what it was. What do you mean, why the number 37? Yeah. Because it went from Zion Adar to Pesach, 37 days. Explanation is because the Jewish people were eating this man for 40 years, and now they don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael and start eating the food of the Goyim. So it would take time for the Jewish people to make their own stock, to establish their own kashrut. Little Borei Olam says that until Pesach, the first day, the man was able to last. And then we'll see where they ate. We'll see where they ate from. So the first year, I mean, it's a trivia question. If somebody asked you, did the man ever last more than one day? Yes. The man that they collected on Zayin Adar lasted for 37 days. Now, there was something special about that man, the Gemara says. The man that lasted on 7 Adar was double the spiritual value of the regular man. The Gemara says that when a tzaddik passes away, at the time of death, his kedushah doubles. Like we saw by Eliyahu Navi and Elisha. Elisha asked Eliyahu Navi that before you pass away, give me double of your kiddushah. The Gemara says, if a person only has one, how can he give two? The Gemara says, at the time of death, the Sadiq reaches higher levels, more than he was in the time of his life, and therefore, since the man came in Bizchut Moshe Rabbeinu, and since on Zayin Adar is the day that he died, on that day, the man received a super-duper upgrade, and therefore the Jewish people benefited it. The man like that until Pesach. Vayishbot Haman Memachorat. The next day, meaning on the 16th of Nisan, it stopped. Be'ochlam ma'avur ha'aref ve'lo ha'yahod ebnei yisrael man. So what did they eat? If they ran out of man, vayuchilu mitzibu'at eres kenaran b'shanahi. Oh, that means if there was still man, they would have eaten the man. Problem is, they ran out of man. Once they ran out of man on the second day of Pesach, they had to start eating now from the regular wheat. So Rashi says, "V'lo haya od b'nei yisrael man lefikach v'yeklu ma'avur ha'aretz. Im haya lahem man, lo hayu ochlim min ha'tevu'ah, sh'haman haya nawach lahem." Of course, the man is much better. Mashal omer l'tinok, v'rimah ata ochel pat se'olim. You tell the kid, how come you're eating barley bread? Because I ran out of wheat bread. That means compared to the man, this is junk, the regular idea that they ate. Now the Gemara or the Achamim say a miracle that took place over here as well. The miracle that took place over here was that on the 16th of Nisan, they have to bring Korban HaOmer. Problem is, where did they get the wheat for Korban HaOmer? You have to bring Korban HaOmer on the second day of Pesach. You can't bring from the fields of Goyim Korban HaOmer. But it has to grow in your domain. The Pasuk says, Ubkutzrechem et reshit ketzidechem. It has to be your ketzid. Ketzid al tzechem. So now you have a technical problem. How did they bring Korban HaOmer on the second day of Pesach if they just came into Israel on the 10th? Huh? They buy a field that wasn't cut yet. That means they bought a field. Yeah, but it grew already in the possession of the Goyim. Once it grows in the possession of the Goyim, it's over. So the Hakamim come along and say a miracle took place. That they planted on the 10th, it rained on the 11th, and by the time the second day of Pesach came, already the wheat was grown. I'll read you that miracle that took place. That's already a myth. והיה חידוש גדול בדבר שהקריבו העומר באותה שנה בדרך נס שהדין הוא שאין מביאים העומר אלא מן התבואה שגדלה בשדות ישראל as the growing Jewish field ראשית כסיריכם ואילו באותה שנה נכנסו לארץ בעשרה בניסן וכסא דביאו בתת זין ניסן בשדות ישראל הם אמרו בירושלמי שהיה נס שזערו ביוד בניסן. They planted on the 10th וקצרו בתת זין. Okay? So that's already a double miracle. So now they ate matzah, they ate man. On the second day they brought Korban HaOmer. All the halachot are being followed. ויוכלו מתבואת ארץ כנען. Now it doesn't say anymore me'avura aris. Once they brought already the korban haomer, ve'yochelu mitzvat eretz kanaan. They can eat the regular tevua, the new crop. Basharai. Now we got all the halachic things out of the way. We brought brit milah. We did korban pesach. We ate matzot. We brought korban haomer. Everything is halacha here. Am Yisrael is a nation of halacha. You don't think that. They didn't follow everything to the letter. Now, by the way, to bring Korban Pesach, that means they had to learn all the laws again. You know, they didn't bring Korban Pesach in 40 years. Now you can take out the books. That's the Masechet Pesachim first. It's a new generation. So you need to learn all the Korban Pesach. I mean, in these 4 days over here, this was a very, very busy time. Chod Brit Milah, okay, Yeshua has to know it because he did the Brit Milah for them. You just got to sit there. But Korban Pesach, you got to learn the law. What's considered roasting? What's considered cooking? What's considered cutting a bone? All these other laws. They didn't know it, meaning what? From a chip that was in their brain? 40 years they didn't bring a Korban Pesach, I'm telling you. They were learning it, but now they're doing it, my friend. You know, go learn brain surgery from a book. Now go tell the doctor.
B'chavod. You want to be that patient?
B'chavod. I never saw it done. You read in the book. That's why the doctor needs apprenticeship. He needs internship. So he can see other doctors what they saw in the book to put it into the big difference when you see a brain in the book and you see the brain on the operating table. The Jewish doctors are teaching them. Wow. Obviously, it's a certain procedure. It's not such a major thing. And then the teaching doctors do open heart surgery. It's like a... Well... Okay. Baruch Hashem. Why'd they come teach some people to be plumbers? I need a plumber. Send some plumbers in Israel. Teach 300 people to change. Heart doctors we need, but we need electricians. In any event, the pasuk says, "Wow, so everything was followed according to halacha." He beyot Yeshua b'Yericho. Now Yeshua comes to Yericho. Now we begin the story of the conquest. He comes to the city of Jericho. Vayisa einav, he lifts his eyes. Vayad v'hine ish omed lenegdo. All of a sudden he sees a man standing in front of him. V'charbo shelufa b'yado. And he sees he has a sword that's drawn towards him. Vayelech Yehoshua elav. Yeshua approaches him. Vayomer lo. Alanu ata im letzarenu. Are you with us? Are you against us? Alanu ata im letzarenu. Vayomer, he answers back, lo. No. Ki ani sar tseva Hashem. I'm an angel. Ata bati. I came now. He tells him, are you with us or you're against us? He says, no what? I'm not against you. And he says, anyway, I came now. What did Yeshua think? He came before? He came now. Of course he came now. When did he come? Vayipod Yeshua el panav arza. So Yeshua falls to his face. Vayishtachu, he bows to the malach. Vayomer lo ma aduni medaber el abdo. What do you want from me? Vayomer sar seba Hashem el Yeshua shal me'alcha me'alaglecha. Take your shoes off. Ki ha-makom asher ata omed alei ha-kodesh hu. Because the place that you're standing on is Kodesh. Vayat Yeshua ken, Yeshua does it. And the chapter ends. What's the story with this angel over here?
Is he standing there in Kodesh? Jericho?
At the foot of Jericho, at the gates of Jericho. He wasn't in Jericho yet. Jericho is a walled city. The walls didn't fall yet. So he's in the perimeters of Jericho, which is still considered Yericho. And all of a sudden the angel comes to him, and the angel has a sword. Obviously he's trying to hurt Yeshua. If he has a sword, it means he's angry. So he tells him, Halanu atan mitzarenu. What's this question? Halanu atan mitzarenu. With us or against us, the Gemara learns it deep. That night that Yeshua started the battle, they started approaching Yericho. In the olden days, they only fought by day. They didn't have night vision. So at night, when sunset came, everybody, there was a ceasefire. During the day, Yeshua was leading a battle. However, at night, he should have told the people, we're not fighting now, let's make a shi'ud. He should have held a class, meaning they canceled the yeshiva during the day because they were fighting. But at night, there should have been maybe a session of learning amongst the people that were in the fight. I mean, even though you're in war, you're only exempt when you're fighting. You're not exempt from learning if you're not fighting. As well, when they were fighting, they did not bring the korban that day either. Because when they're fighting, the Aron is outside of its place. The Aron is in front of the camp. And you cannot bring the Korban when the Aron is not in position. So there were two things Yeshua did not do on that day. He did not bring the afternoon Korban, and he did not learn Torah that night. The angel comes to him now with a sword. Yeshua understands it's because of a mistake that he made. So he says, which Avon are you coming for? The pasuk says, Torah Sivalanu Moshe. So he says, Halanu? Are you coming because the sin of Lanu? Torah Sivalanu? Or are you coming because of the fact that we didn't bring the Korbanot, and in the Zechut of the Korbanot, Borei Olam destroys our enemy, the Tarenu. So he's asking, are you coming for the Lanu, for the Torah? Or for the Korbanot that in the Zechut destroys the enemies, the Tarenu. You understand the question of Yehoshua? It's a deep question. Then. Meaning, if you want me to make teshuvah, on what? On halanu or letarenu? So the angel comes along and says, hey, Yom Elo, ki ani sal seva Hashem. I didn't come for tzarenu. Ataba. I came now. What do you mean I came now? The pasuk says regarding the Torah, Ve'ata kitvu lachem et ashira zot. The pasuk says, and now God says, I want you to write this song called the Torah, ve'lamida et Yisrael, and teach the Jewish people this Torah, ve'simah v'fihem, and put it in their mouth. So the angel comes along and says, Ata bati, I came for the item that's called Ata. What's called Ata? Kitvu lachem et ashira zot. The Torah is called Ata. Which means the claim against Yeshua was not for tzarenu. You missed the Qurban, you missed the Qurban. Abad zemano batel Qurbano. You missed the Qurban, you missed the Qurban. I'm not coming for that anyway. Too late. You can't fix that. But I came for the mitzvah that applies now. The mitzvah that applies now was what? Talmud Torah. And it says the word atah when it comes to Torah. You're right. He said, I'm not worried about the Qurban. Qurban you have no claim against. Although, maybe in the afternoon, you should have put the Aron back as the sun was going down and bring the Talmid Shemayin Arbayin. Okay, you missed the Korban, Abbas Zemar Bat the Korbano. But how come you didn't learn? Over here you see a great Musa. The angel is coming to give Yehoshua rebuke that even though he's in the middle of a war, you got to learn. And the fact that he did not learn with the people that night, there was a claim against him. The question that the Mefashim ask over here is as follows. Anytime an angel comes to appear to a, to do a mission, he dresses according to the mission. How would you expect this angel to dress in this mission? Well, he was coming to tell you, you're sure that he has to learn Torah. You would expect him to come dressed as a Rosh Hashiva. Why does the angel who's telling Yeshua to learn come dressed as a warrior? He took the wrong costume out of the closet. He should have took the Rosh Hashiva's costume instead he took the warrior's costume. Oh, so that's the answer. The second question we have, you got it? Beautiful answer, David. Solid answer. The answer that, besides that beautiful, clear answer, there's another answer that we could also say. The Pasuk writes, Omdot hayu raglenu b'sha'alayich Yerushalayim. The Gemara's Doresh. What does it mean, Omdot hayu raglenu? Our legs were standing at the gates of Jerusalem. Who was standing at the gates of Jerusalem? Gemara says, no, two different stories. Omdot hayu raglenu b'melchama. Our legs were standing in the war. That we had success in the war. Why? Bish'arayich Yerushalayim, because what was going on in the Sha'arim HaMetzuyanim Ba'alakha in Yerushalayim. That means the gates of Jerusalem are the yeshivas. So David HaMelech is saying, he was a warrior, David. Why did we succeed on the battlefield? Because we had Sadiqim home learning for us. So the learning gave us success on the battlefield. Understand that? Do you remember when Parashat Matot, when Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people to go fight Midian? So the Pasuk says, Elef Lamateh, Elef Lamateh. He took 1,000, 1,000, 2,000 every tribe. So the Achirim said, what do you need 1,000, 1,000 every tribe? So it says 1,000 to go fight and 1,000 to go learn. So you see over here, in the older days they understood that when you go to war, there's different strategies of war. You have an army, you have a navy, You have Marines, you have Air Force, all these are part of the war. In Jewish wars, part of the war front is learning. So therefore, the Bnei Torah in the war are part of the army. So therefore, they're dressed as soldiers. You understand what I'm saying over here? It's not over here that you have a bunch of Hakamim sitting. That's part of the war effort. So therefore, when the angel is coming to tell Yeshua, how come you're not learning? He dresses as a soldier. Because this is part of the strategy of war. Which I'm coming as a general. Sarseva. You figure the general will come along and say, go from the north, ambush them from the south, come at night. No, the general is coming along and telling them, you're forgetting the main strategy of the Jewish people. So he comes dressed according to the mission. He was giving them war strategy. If you want to succeed, this you got to learn. It's an amazing thing how much they hold us responsible in learning. I would say, I'm in the middle of the field there. There's no books. I'm in the middle of the field over here. I'm sleeping in a tent. I mean, you got Yericho right across the street. They're going to come and fight us. Who has the head to learn? At 9 o'clock, Shi'uta. What's Shi'uta? We're in the middle of Vietnam. Imagine Vietnam, in the middle of the war, Vietnam at night. Okay, Rabotai, Shi'ut. What's Shi'ut? What is Shi'ut? And there's a claim against them. Atabati. Atabati. I came now for the learning. Told you, if you have to learn in the field, then you have to learn everywhere. There's no excuse. You can't come along and say, patur. Now, Yeshua is very, very specific here. Yeshua comes along and says, Halanu ata. Are you coming because of the pasuk Torati balanu Moshe? Lanu. If I was the angel, I would answer him. Yes, lanu. I came for lanu. He doesn't use the same pasuk. He says, ata bati. I came because of ata. What is ata? Ve'ata kitvu lachem et asira. Why did he quote a different pasuk? Yeshua was asking, did you come because of Torati balanu? Halanu? The angels will say, yes, halanu. He should say, halanu bati. Instead, what does he say? Ata bati. He quotes a different pasuk. Ata kitvu lachem et asira. Why did he quote a different pasuk? The Torah is called a song. Ve'ata kitvu lachem et ha'shira hazot. The Torah is called a song. What does it mean that Torah is called a song? Torah is not a song, it's a book. Torah is not a song. The explanation is a song or to sing is something that's pleasurable. A song is something that you do naturally. A person, even when he's in a stressful situation, from his nerves, he could sing. You see people when they're working, they whistle. They're singing a tune. It gives them happiness. The Torah is a song that lifts the spirit of the person. In a war, who has time to sit and learn? So the angel was saying, your sin is that you forgot the Torah is a song. The learning of the Torah gives the person the serenity, gives the person the peace of mind. Therefore, you're right, if Torah was just a law book, how can I learn the law book? I'm fighting a war. On the contrary, the Torah is Torah Hashem Timima Meshivat Nafesh Pikudesh. It brings the person to. So if you learn the Torah is like a song, you can sing a song anywhere. I can sing a song when the farmers are working in the field. What are they doing? They're singing. They're singing as they're working.
The soldiers
as they're marching, they sing. Therefore, the angel was saying, you forgot the Torah has the level of a shira, and a shira you can do anywhere. Maybe a legislative book could only be in the Midrash. But the element that the Torah is a song, that's not limited to the Beit Midrash.
There's no excuse.
There's no excuse. You could sing anywhere. Sing in the fields. Why? You're not singing in the fields? So he was giving him rebuke and the attitude of the Torah. Of course, Yeshua accepts it, and as we'll see in the next war, because this was too late. Too late. They blew it. In the next war, you'll see that Yeshua will have a shi'ud at night when they're fighting against the city of Ai. It says that Yeshua went to sleep in the Emek. He went to sleep in the valley. The Gemara says, Shelan be'umka shel halakha. That he went to sleep in that war in the depth of Jewish law. So he makes a, that again reminds us, today when they're talking about, hey, you have to put the yeshiva guys into the army. Now we're not saying you don't need an army. You need an army. But you also need another army. You need the yeshiva guys. When Begin went into one of the wars, he called Rav Shach. He told Rav Shach first that he's going into the war. That he's sending the, to blow up the Iraq, the nuclear reactor. He called Rav Shach first. The only guy in the world that knows it is Begin and the cabinet. And why is he called Rav Shach? Tell the guys in Panovich to learn extra today. Because we have a very risky mission. We're flying over enemy territory to Iraq. We're going to blow up a reactor. So he understood. You need. And what happened? It was a tremendous success. They went in, they blew it up, they turned around. Before anybody knew it, it was over. Understand what happened? So those old timers understood you need the Hachamim in the study of Torah. I remember when I was in Lakewood Yeshiva, and it was a scary day. It was in the middle of the second Seder in Lakewood, in the BMW, and we were over there learning, I used to learn in the Ezrat Nashim on the second floor. And I was sitting with my Hamilta of Rami Ben Eliel, Rav Chaim Ben Eliel's son. And we're learning Masechet Gittin. And normally the Seder ends at 7:20. 7:20, then you close the book and you go learn Musar. Go take a cigarette. And the Seder goes to 7:20. It's Mashiach comes, the Seder goes to 7:20. No, the Seder is a Seder. There's 3,000 people learning. All of a sudden, at 7 o'clock, 20 minutes early, you hear from downstairs, I was upstairs, you hear the guy downstairs, come to the teva, and he bangs on the teva. Like, you know, how you bang for Rosh Chodesh? But this was not a bang. This was like he's making chibut arabot. Boom! He bangs on the teva. Now, the whole place stopped. Silence. What is the guy banging on the teva for? They were going to lynch him. All of a sudden, on top of his lungs, screaming like you thought, that's it, the world's coming to an end. Everybody realizes some crisis going on. Immediately, without asking questions, everybody gets out of their chair, shuts the book, and starts answering the guy. From 7 o'clock to 8:30. An hour and a half of this guy screaming on top of his lungs, and every time you answer the walls of the yeshiva, you think the ceiling's going to cave in. That's how loud it was. And then the buzz goes around. They started shooting scuds into Eretz Yisrael. That was in the scud missiles. Now Eretz Yisrael is in danger. So right, the yeshivas, which means now they call the reservists. That's it. I'm giving you an example. Of the army was now activated. Which army? The yeshiva. The learning guys. Now you have to pray in the yeshiva. And then I'm giving you an example. But you'll give me an example of somebody that's sick. I'm not giving you examples. I know you. No, your example's wrong.
No, really.
You really. What am I trying to prove in this mashal?
For war.
Well, for war we're talking. We're talking about sick people there. Anybody was sick. I'm trying to give you an example that in the time of war the yeshivas need to be activated. You're telling me somebody was sick. They read Tehillim. What's that proof? Oh. So you see over here, and they read Tehillim Tegima. That's what they read during the time of. Somebody asked me, why do you read Pegiba? I said, Pegiba Shem Tevot, Persian Gulf. That's Shem Tevot. They said, they met, the buzz was on the Persian Gulf, but that's my image, Pegiba. In any event, the source of all that comes from over here. The source over here, that was 1991, the Persian Gulf War, and miracles happened in that war, that none of the Scuds really landed an inhabited area, and it's got the giant, giant singles thing. They're not little, you know, rockets. Those are big, humongous things. They landed, but they didn't land in places where they bothered anybody. One Scud landed in the American barracks. It killed 200 people in one shot. Remember in Lebanon, the Scud landed in the barracks. Boom, killed 200 people. And here, maybe one guy died. I think out of all the 39 Scuds, that was shot. One person. The pharmacist guy walked outside and listened, whatever it was. In any event, at that moment he tells them, okay, take your shoes off, it's a holy place. Abutai, we are now at the cusp of the greatest war in history, the Battle of Jericho. Stay tuned next week as Be'ezat Hashem, we discuss how that, I don't want to say how it ended, but it's a beautiful, beautiful story.
Beautiful.
Now, do me a favor, Isaac, in the office of the Chumash, we'll just say one word on the Perashat HaShavua. Perashah, of course, is the Perashah of confrontation. The confrontation is between Yaakov Avinu and Esav. It's also a confrontation between Yaakov and the Malach of Esav, the Samechmem. Two different confrontations. Of course, the Ramban will tell you Ma'aseh Avot Siman Nabanim. We must learn from these confrontations something practical for ourselves. The Torah is not just telling us, different boxing matches, a wrestling match. Who cares? It's not just giving us history. The Torah is a book of lessons. The lessons obviously have to be for us. Ma'aseh Avot Siman Nabanim. Few questions on this parasha. Yaakov Avinu sees Esav and he sends him a gift. If you want to be more precise, he sends him a bribe. He bribes him. Initially, Esav does not want to accept the bribe. Vayomer midecha kol ha-machaneh hazeh. He said, what is all this machaneh that you're giving me? What is all this? Vayomer limsuchen b'enei adoni. He tells him, I'm giving it so I can find favor in your eyes. Sounds like he's saying, I want you to like me. Limsuchen. Why am I giving you all this? Said, what is the stuff you're giving me all this? What is all this gift? Limsuchen. Vayomer Esav, yes, Rav, no, I don't need it. Achi, yehi lecha shelah, keep it. Vayomer Yaakov, no, alna, imna masati chen beineka, please. If I find favor in your eyes, v'lakachta minchati, take it. I insist, as we would say. Kachnat berchati, v'yipzar bo, he insisted, v'yikach. It doesn't have to be twisted so much, Esav. But, you know, no, thank you. Please, I insist. Okay. The next pasuk says, Vayomer nis'aden elecha. He tells Yaakov, let's travel together. We're brothers, no? Are we brothers? Let's travel together. So he comes along and he says, you go first. You go, I'll catch up. Vayomer Esav, why? Let me put some of my men with you, so we'll travel together. Because he's saying Yaakov is giving an excuse, and I'm too slow. I'll send you some of my men and they'll help you. What does Yaakov have to answer? Vayomer, lama ze'im sachem b'anei adoni? Why am I finding favor in your eyes? Which means I'm not interested in finding favor in your eyes. But you just told them, I'm giving you the gift to find favor in your eyes. So Esav is finding favor. Esav is finding favor now. Okay, good here. I love you. Good, it worked. It worked? Lemme them, Zion. What? Scratch, make up your mind. You just told me, Lemsochen. And it says that it worked. Lemsochen, I got the gift. I love you. Let's chop it together. Lama Zayin. Lama Korepo. Not only that, but you know that in the Baal HaTurim, the Baal HaTurim has over here an interesting Baal HaTurim. When Esav is getting the gift, the first thing he tells Yaakov is, Milecha. He says, oh, what is this here? So the Baal HaTurim says, oh, we found the word Milecha, those two words, three times in the Tanakh. Milecha kol ha-machaneh. That's over here. When Esav says, Milecha kol ha-machaneh, what is all this stuff over here? Ah! Od Milecha po chatan. When the angels are trying to tell Lot to get out of Sodom, what do you got left in the house? Milecha po od chatan. His son-in-law and so on and so forth. Milecha. The third pasuk is in Yeshayah. Milecha po ki chasata lecha po kaved. Who came over here to dig a grave? You go see random pasukim. Usually when you quote these three pasukim, there has to be a connection between all the three. Milecha, milecha, milecha. And he gives us a connection. But I saw already from the... where did I see it? The Baba Rabbi, the original book that we got. I don't have it here. But I saw it yesterday. He has a nice derash on this. But I added some more questions. There's a famous question that everybody asks on the Perasha. When Yaakov Avinu is having the confrontation with Esav, he comes along and he says, "Atzideni na miyad achi miyad Esav. Save me from my brother, my hands of my brother, the hands of Esav." The Zohar asks the question. He only had one brother. So the Zohar says, it doesn't matter. When you pray, you have to pray precise. Because if he just would have said Ahi, Ahi could also be my relative. If he just would have said Esav, it could be Esav in the street. So then we might know, Ahi, Esav. That's already specific. You can't make a mistake. The Zohar learns from this, that when you pray, you have to pray. Okay, but without the Zohar, how do you learn? Not only that, Yaakov Avinu meets the angel. And they battle. They battle at night. A wrestling match. Unbelievable wrestling match. Rabotai, you can't believe this wrestling match. It's real. Yeah, no, it's all-nighter. They didn't have pay-per-view in those days, but it would have been a big event, it would have been. And the odds would have been against Yaakov, without a doubt. It's the Samech Mem against Yaakov. The odds are going to be with Samech Mem. Especially the odds that come from the Samech Mem. So therefore, He overpowers them. Amazing story. The upset. There's an upset. Yaakov Avinu beats the angel. The angel says, oh, you got to let me go. Okay, you got to see you later. Bless me and you'll see you later. Go sing to God. And all of a sudden the pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu leaves the place that night. And he says, Vayikra Shema Makom Peniel. He names the place, and I don't know what the name was before that, but he named the place of this battle Peniel. And he says, you know why I'm naming it Peniel? Ki ra'iti Elohim panim el panim. I saw an angel face to face. Elohim can be an angel. But there's Asir Nafshi, and I got saved. So the name is an appropriate name. Peniel, the face of the angel. And I got saved. Although the word nafshi, as we learned last night in the shi'ur, always refers to the spiritual part of the person. I would have said, v'tenatzel gufi. I mean, the angel is beating up on Yaakov Avinu's body. He should say, v'tenatzel gufi. Anyway, v'yizrach lo ha-shemesh, it says the sun rises the next morning. sun rises. Okay, that's what happens. Kashir Abar is Penuel. And now the name of the city is not called Peniel anymore. It's called Penuel. What happened? Well, they had an emergency a board meeting of the zoning directors. And they said, no, we don't like Peniel. We're not going to accept Peniel. We want to call it Penuel. What's the difference? What's the difference? The Chamber of Commerce, whether it's called Peniel or Penuel. But the Pasuk says, in the morning already it was not that they changed the sign. Welcome to Penuel, inhabitants for. What happened from Peniel to Penuel?
What's
a different name? I don't know what the difference is.
Peniel.
What's a different name? Whatever it is. It's a different name.
There
had to be a reason. That's what you say. And then the Pasuk says, Vutzoleya al Yerecho. And in the morning, Yaakov Avinu was limping. And all the Mefarshim asked, why wasn't he limping the night before? But he should have been limping the night before. Only limping in the morning? The night before he wasn't limping?
No, he didn't.
So you tell me, you feel it the next day, the dead leg you get the next day. When you go horseback riding, that day you don't feel anything. Next day you wake up, you're Charlie horse. That's a simple interpretation. Wutzoleya, meaning the next day. Okay, but that's a simple interpretation. Wutzoleya. Moshe Rabbeinu is by his father-in-law's house. Happens to the best of them. And that Yitro, he has two kids. The first kid is called what? Gereshom. He says, why? Ki ger hayiti be'eretz nokriyah. He says, I'm a stranger in a foreign land. True, he doesn't come from Midian. He's a stranger in a foreign land. That's a good name. The second child, what does he call? Eliezer. What did he call Eliezer for? Because God was with me and he saved me from the sword of Pharaoh. Because Moshe was going to get killed in Egypt. Remember they wanted to kill him? Because he killed the Egyptian. So they told on him. Hazak, what happened first? Menno's question is MS. Historically, Eliezer comes before Gereshom. When did I get Gereshom? Gereshom is now. Eliezer happened already. Why did he reverse the names of the kids? I know there's a lot of questions in this parasha. The question we asked yesterday, whoever was in the Shi'ur, Yaakov Avinu sends a message to Esav. Yaakov Avinu says to Esav, in Lavan Garti, I lived with Lavan. That she comes on, the Tariag Mitzvot Shamarti. Who told you about Tariag Mitzvot? He didn't say anything about Tariag Mitzvot. No, because Garti is Tariag. So what? Where did she know, where did Achamim know that he mentioned nothing about Tariag Mitzvot? All he said, if I come along and say, I live in Brooklyn. And I keep the Tariag Mitzvot. Where did that come from? No, because Garti is Tariag. Meaning, it's an unbelievable derasha. Im Lavan Garti, boom, Tariag Mitzvot Shamarti. But where's that Tariag Mitzvot come from? These are all the questions that we ask, and many more on the parasha. The yesod to all this, of course, is a famous Beit HaLevi that everybody knows already. The Beit HaLevi writes, and I have it here. Yod Machkimot. He has a piece. He says, Yaakov Avinu knew that Esav HaRasha confronts us in different ways. There's two faces of Esav. One face is the face of violence. This is the face that Esav comes with his bloody hands in order to kill Am Yisrael. We're very accustomed to that face of Esav. That's the face of Esav that we saw in Europe when Hitler came. He wasn't looking to convert us. He wasn't looking the way he wanted us to kill Jews. He was already looking four generations up. That's the bloody hands of the pogroms by the Cossacks. They came along, they took Jews, they split them in half. Torturous death. The blood of in Europe, the ground is filled with Jewish blood. By the way, we're used to this already. This is our history. The Romans, how many Jews did they kill? That was killing. Greeks didn't kill, but the Romans killed us. Millions of Jews died in these wars. The Spanish Inquisition is interesting. Last week on Thursday, I was in Seville. And they show you, they take you on the tour in Seville. And in a botai, this is the palace of King Ferdinand and Isabel. You walk in. And they say, Rabotai, you should know, a Jewish man funded it. They give you his name. And you see, how could he fund it? Yeah, Habibi, what is this? This is, it's not nicer than the house in Deal, but it's a nice house. I'm not saying no. It's not Deal. But it's a beautiful palace. Oh, my God. Gardens and this, and labyrinths in the backyard. And you walk in, you see, and they even have Magen David all over the place. They built it to a place. The Jewish guy had paid it. He built Magen David all over the place. If this is where the king and queen came, this is where they rested when they came to Seville. They had palaces all over the country. Then you walk across the street, you see Judaria. There's the Jewish neighborhood. They put the Jewish neighborhood right across from the palace on purpose. So nobody could start with the Jews. I can't start with the Jews because the king is right here. And that's why they give you the tour. Although you raise it and say, but how come there's nothing left in this Jewish quarter here? Where's the shoes? We forgot to tell you that on one night in 1391, they came in one night in Seville in this Jewish quarter, and they killed 4,000 Jews in one night. Oh. If I didn't ask you, I'm going to tell me that. Now you think that's an important... that's why you'll see nothing left over there. Everything was destroyed. Well, why'd they kill us? Because we were Jewish. Did we provoke them? And what was the king doing? This is before Ferdinand. This is 100 years before Ferdinand. The king was looking out his window, eating bizzard, watching. You could hear the screaming of the Jews from the palace, without a doubt. And the king did nothing. The king was happy. He killed the Jews. This is the Esav that we've been used to throughout our history. They kill us just because, by the way, we don't have it today. Once in a while, you're walking down the street, and I open this window, it screams out. What are you screaming? What did I do? You don't know me. You just, because he's a yarmulke. Boom, he curses us out. The hatred, Esav Shone Yaakov. The hatred is so deep. You go to a Jewish cemetery. What do you see in the Jewish cemetery? The headstones are knocked over. What do you want from us? We're dead already. It still bothers you now? You want to tell me if they want to... You're alive, but we're dead. And it still... It bothers us that they're doing the ground. They have to break the headstone. I mean, it's incredible the depth of the anti-Semitism. What do you want from it? You guys dead. Could you be more dead than dead? Or he's dead. You won. You beat him. He's dead. No. You kill him again. Break the stone. That's what they do in Jewish cemeteries. Anti-Semitism, even if the Jew is dead. That's one face of Esav. And then there's another face of Esav that the Beit HaLevi mentioned, where he comes not as a brute, but as a brother. He comes along and says, listen, let's be equal. Let's travel together. You can come to our universities. We can go to your places. We can marry each other. Freedom of religion, freedom of this, freedom of that. Where the Jew is accepted. He doesn't have to live in New Judaria anymore. He can live outside together. And the Jew can partake and be, he doesn't have to walk around with a red band around his arm or a yellow star attached to his lapel. These are the two faces that Esav has. Both pose a danger. Well, the brutal Esav poses a physical threat against the Jewish body. But the lovely, brotherly Esav poses a threat against our souls. It's true that Hitler killed 6 million Jews in the Holocaust. We don't minimize it. But in the post-Holocaust here in America, with Esav shining his smile on us, there's over 6 million Jews that assimilated. More. Now, there's no museum for that. That's called the Silent Holocaust. That means, in the Holocaust, they had to drag us into the concentration camp. In this, we walked in ourselves. Nobody's pushing us. Just the freedom. The Rambam is right when he says, you're a product of your environment. Rambam is right.
Rambam said that.
You're a product of your environment, and the environment will influence you. So if you have 5 million Jews and 250 million goyim, the odds are that the 250 million are going to influence the 6 million, and the 6 million are going to be batil barov, like a drop of milk in a pot of soup, batil b'shishim. America's called the melting pot. And Esav smiling at us, baruch haba, baruch haba. And as he's smiling at us, we're walking into the chambers of assimilation. So both faces of Esav are dangerous. I told you the famous story that I always tell you about Franz Joseph and the Tsar of Russia. Franz Joseph was the premier of Austria. Tsar of Russia was the Tsar of Russia. Tsar of Russia was a tyrant. Franz Joseph was liberal to the Jewish people. He was good to the Jews. So the Tsar sends a letter to his nephew. My dear nephew, why are you so good to the Jews? Why do you give them freedom? Why don't you torture them like I do in my domain? Franz Joseph sends back, my dear uncle, the Tsar of Russia, you kill your Jews your way, I'll kill them my way. What he meant to say is, I know what I'm doing. It's a plan. Yeah, a simple question. What does Esav do when he sees Yaakov for the first time after 20 years? Pasuk says, Vayishakel. If you look on top of the word Vayishakel, there's dot. The dots come and teach me that he didn't want to kiss him. He actually tried to bite him. But what happened? Yaakov's neck turned into like stone. So what did he end up doing? He kissed him. I asked this question, was he schizophrenic? You just sort of bite the guy. You couldn't bite him, I understand. So if you kiss him. I mean, if I go to a guy and have a gun, and I shoot the gun and the gun doesn't go off. Okay, I don't want to give me a hug. Give me a hug, you just tried to kill me a second ago. And you have to get the guy's a mental case. I mean, I don't have a problem that he couldn't bite him. Okay, miracle happens. He walk away. Listen, I can't kill him. I walk away. No, and I'm going to hug him. What's the explanation? Esav's not crazy. Explanation is Esav was coming with both methods. Esav said, listen, my goal is to kill Yaakov Avinu. First he came as Hitler. When he saw that he can't kill Yaakov physically, he said, if I can't bite him to death, I'll kiss him to death. Now we become friends with him. And before you know it, the kids will stop being friends with their first cousins. And before you know it, then there goes Yaakov, there goes the Torah, there goes... So it was a plan. This wasn't a kiss of affection. This is called the kiss of death. It's just another plan. It's strategy A, strategy B. Plan A, plan B. If I can't bite him to death, I'll kiss him to death. You understand what's going on over here?
Tell him what
love. And you see in America, it's working. And people think, oh, in America, I have no problem. It's not smiling at us. Baruch haba. And the Jews go to the universities. And what happens in the universities? Lemonade. They have roommates of goyim, goyot, everybody together. And it's Aben Elka Yahad. And before you know it, with a smile. No concentration camp, Baruch Hashem. So therefore, the Beit HaNevi says in his famous Derash that Yaakov Avinu anticipated this. So he says, Hasileni na miyad achi. Miyad Esav, save me from my brother, that when he treats me like a brother, and save me when he treats me like a tyrant, Esav. It's two different faces. And who was he more worried about? He was more worried about Ahi, because he prayed Ahi first. He was more worried about the Ahi than the Esav. Why? Because at least when it's Esav, you die Jewish. It's only a physical blow. But when the Ahi comes, he takes your soul. He was more worried about that. So what happens? The angel comes to Esav in the middle of the night, and the angel starts beating up on the body. What does Yaakov say? That night he says, you're right, he hit my body. But you know what happens? The Hatam Sofer says a very famous mashal, the wind and the sun made a wager. The guy was walking in the street with a fur coat. The wind said, I bet you I could blow it off him. The sun said, I bet you I could get it off him as well. So the sun tells the wind, you go first. Wind comes with a howling, gusty, gale force wind, trying to blow the jacket off. Instead, what does he do? He holds on tighter. It had a reverse effect. The sun says, now let me go the wind. Beautiful sunny day, no wind, no clouds. The sun just beats very quietly. And the guy starts to perspire, and on his own he takes off the jacket. What the wind couldn't do with its force, the sun is able to do with its kindness. That night, the Samichmam comes against Yaakov like a gale force wind. What does the Jewish person do when the Samichmam comes against him? He holds on to the religion tighter. He goes to the Bit Midrash, he reads Tehillim, he prays, he gives tzedakah. So Yaakov Avinu, that night, he names the city Peniel. I see the face of God. Even though they beat me up physically, but Batinatzel Nafshi, my soul was saved. However, the Pasuk then says, Vayizrach lo Hashemesh. When the sun comes out, when Esav doesn't fight us like a gale force winds, but Vayizrach lo Hashemesh, when the sun comes out and Esav starts to treat us with freedom, egalite, liberté, fraternité, like Napoleon, then what does the Pasuk say? V'u'avad is Penuel. Now we turn away from God. Penuel. At night when the Goyim are persecuting us physically, it's Pene'el. But when the sun shines, Pene'el turns to Penuel. We turn away from God. And then the Pasuk says, V'hu Tolaya. Now you see the damage. Now you see the collateral damage. In the Shemesh, that's when already you see Klal Yisrael limping away. So this was, he was worried about Yaakov Avinu. And you see Ma'aseh Avot Siman Levanim, it's happening today. Back to back. Galut of Ashkenaz and Galut of America. Back to back, you see the two faces. Esav and Ahid. And they both have negative effects. Oh, that's the case. We go back to our story over here. Back to the story. Esav sees Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu wants to bribe him. Now there's two reasons why you want to bribe somebody. Either I want to bribe the guy to get him away from me, or I want to bribe the guy to bring him closer to me. If I'm bribing a buyer, I want to get close to the guy. If I'm bribing a dangerous enemy, it's to get rid of the guy. Understand? Yaakov Avinu goes to Esav and he gives him a gift. So Esav says, well, what is this gift over here? So Yaakov says, Lim Sohen. Now he meant Lim Sohen, that I should find favor in your eyes and you should leave me alone. Meaning I should find favor and you should walk. Esav, however, misinterpreted it. He interpreted, to find favor. Let's travel together. So Yaakov has to explain to him, no, lamba ze imtahen. No, I didn't mean that type of favor. I gave it to you so you can go your way and I'll go my way. You misunderstood me. Now he didn't misunderstand him. He wanted to get close to Esav to assimilate him. So Yaakov has to, lamba ze, please don't find favor. He just said a second ago, meaning find favor, leave me alone. Lamba ze imtahen. Says the Baal HaTurim, when Yaakov Avinu gives him the bride, so the Pasuk says, Esav says, Mi lecha? Who does this all belong to? So this is the way the Baba Rebbe explains the Mesorah of Mi lecha. So the pasuk says like this. פסוק ח' ויאמר מי לך כל המחנה הזה? מי לך כל המחנה? Why are you giving me this? You must be giving this to me because you want to get close to me. What's the other pasuk? עוד מי לך פה חתן? Maybe we can marry each other. מי לך פה חתן? And then what does Yaakov answer? Me lecha po ki hasavta lecha po kaved. I'll die first before I let you marry any of my children. Yaakov Avinu says, Esav says, me lecha. What is all this? Why are you giving this to me? It must be me lecha po hatan. It must be because you want to get close to me so we can marry each other. And Yaakov Avinu says, me lecha po ki hasavta li po kaved. I'll dig a grave before I go marry you. So those are the mesorahs. Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom is in Midian. He's in Midian. Midian is Avodah Zarah place. He's living with the Pope. Midian is the Vatican City. And not only is he living in Vatican City, he's living in the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, Yitro is Pope Yitro the First. And Moshe Rabbeinu is a religious Orthodox Jew now living over there in Rome. And he has to remind himself that I don't belong here. I don't belong here. Because if he doesn't remind himself that he doesn't belong there, he's going to melt in the melting pot. You understand what's happening over here? Do you understand what's happening? He's living with his father-in-law, there's old Salibes, there's old Cherry, he's sitting there now with his black ass. How's he going to protect himself? So he has to remind himself, I don't belong here. So he names his first son Gereshom. Gerait, you're a stranger. That's more important than remembering the history of Eliezer. I need to name him Ger, so every time I call him, I'm reminded, I'm a stranger, I don't belong here. You understand the methodology? The more important thing first, even though you're right, but it's out of order. But this is more important. Oh. Yaakov Avinu lives by Lavan for 20 years. Lavan's the majority. How is it possible Yaakov Avinu didn't get influenced? He comes along and he says, not im Lavan darti. The word dar means to live permanently. He says, im Lavan garti. Garti means I was a stranger. How could you be a stranger? If I go to Europe, they put on my passport 3 months. Then I'm a stranger. After 3 months, I got to leave. But if I'm living in America for 50 years, I'm not a stranger anymore. I'm a citizen.
You're a resident.
I'm a resident. Permanent resident. Yaakov, you're living by Lavan for 20 years. You're not a stranger anymore. You're a resident. All of a sudden, he sends him a message. Guess what? I lived there for 20 years. Im Lavan Garti, it's just Garti. So that she says, how can it be? It must be there's only one way. Metariag mitzvot shamat. The only way not to allow the influence of the nations is you have to build walls. And the wall that you build is what? The fence of mitzvot. The Garti was only able to be because of Teriag mitzvot shamati. And therefore the lesson over here is very, very clear. Do nothing in this exile, do nothing, and automatically assimilate. But doing nothing. You don't have to do anything positive to assimilate. Just be passive. By being passive, the current automatically will take you to the bad place. In order to protect yourself from the majority, you need to have a resistance. Without a resistance going the other way, the current, which means if I'm in a rowboat, do nothing, the stream will take me downstream. In order to go the other way, I need to have a negative force and row the other way. Do you understand that? So people think, I don't want my son to be so religious. By saying that you don't want your son to be so, you're basically making a decision for him to assimilate God to this. Because basically they think there's three, they think it's a car. In a car you have drive, you have reverse, you have neutral. So they think, listen, neutral, but they don't realize neutral is reverse.
Car will roll down the hill.
Exactly. Neutral is reverse. Exactly. When you're on a hill, neutral is reverse. So they don't realize you're on a hill. Put the car in neutral, you're going to slide down unless you put an energy going for, and that's been forced. So I saw in this sefer over here an amazing story. The Beit HaLevi gave this derasha that we just said, more or less, probably more, in public. It was at the time that the Tsar of Russia was Alexander II. And at the time, Alexander II was a good czar. He allowed the Jewish people to go to the gymnasiums and the universities. And it was under that regime that the Beit HaLevi says this Divrei Torah, be careful! This is the face of Esav, it's the face of our brother. So the speech got back to Alexander. That here, you're giving the Jews all these liberties. And this guy's getting up and bashing, saying it's a bad thing. The speech got to the government. My God, speeches always get to Sharet Zion somehow. Walk out of here, the guy sees him in the street. Hey, Rabbi, you spoke, I just say, how'd you get the derash ready? And Braha told me.
I don't know
no one. No, you don't know anyone. Umechivad shaya bahem hatrasa umirida b'malchut. You're rebelling against the king. The king is making it easy for the Jewish people to go to the college, the university, and you speak against it. Tafsu lebet t'levi v'krisu v'ma'asa. They put him in jail. 2 hours later, they let him out. Why? He talked his way out of it. Listen to the way he talked his way out of it, the Beit HaLevi. Ketzad hayta tzalato. Ayedesh ta'anim. Let me explain to you what I meant. Shadavar yachid asui lehotir et ha'yehudim b'sheket u'beroga. The only item that keeps the Jewish people calm and tamed is the study of Torah. Torah to us is like it's a relaxer. It's a tranquilizer. Ki delo Torah, take the Torah away from the Jew, alula Yehudi, the Jewish person according to his nature, liyot revolutionist. Umorid b'malchut. So I was only saying it for the betterment of the government. You're taking away the Torah from us, you're going to turn the Jew into a rebel. Therefore it's better to let the Jew just study Torah and the Torah will tranquilize him and keep him at bay. So when the government heard that, so it's a good thing that, keep them learning. How right was the Beit HaLevi? Who were the greatest revolutionists in Russia? All the Jews. Trotsky and all that Havra Kadisha over there. They were Jews that abandoned learning. And what did they end up doing? They created all revolutions throughout Europe. And then you see the lesson is very strong. We are living through Miyad Ahi. Esav already, that type of anti-Semitism is behind us, more or less. But we're still in danger. You shouldn't let your guard say, oh, now what are they? On the kind of take advantage of it. If the Goyim are giving us these type of freedoms, we have to use the freedoms not to assimilate, but to use it to become more Jewish. If they're allowing it to us, nobody's coming into the Jewish ghetto anymore in the middle of the night and killing 4,000 Jews, God forbid. Now they're coming along and saying, we'll put policemen to watch your shuls, we'll protect your synagogue, tax-free organization, everything. They're giving us all these benefits. But instead what happens when the sun comes out, the Jew takes off the religion on his own. And he tells the guy, I know you didn't ask for it, but I'll give it to you. And that's why we have to be extra vigilant. And that's why Esav and Yaakov Avinu, in this two confrontations, we learn Maaseh Avot Siman Lebanim. And that's where the pasuk says, Vayira Yaakov Me'od Vayeter. He was scared and he was worried. He was scared of face number one, and he was worried about face number two. Everything over here is the two stories. The good news is, Yaakov Avinu succeeds. Because what does it say at the end of the confrontation? The Pasuk comes along and says, at the end of the story, Vayashov Vayom Ahu Esav Ledarko. Esav went back to his place, the Yaakov Nasa Sukkota. That's the greatest success in the history. Esav went his way, and Yaakov gets saved, not only from the brute, but he gets saved from Ahi. His tefillot were answered. And that's our purpose as well. V'Yaakov nasa sukkota. We have to go to the sukkota and let Esav go. But once we start to try to be together, they have the majority. And the majority will always influence the minority, like the Rambam says. And then already, we have to be very concerned that that's going to dilute us. And they're going to compromise us. You know, so we should be zochet to be saved. Miyad Ahi, miyad Esav, amen. I'm going to go to the hospital.